Okay, so before we hit record, I'm gonna throw this at you.
Oh,
As we were getting ready to record that, I was finishing my lunch, and then we got onto a load of rambling when we first joined. So I have one sausage left to eat, so it's up to you whether you want to vamp this intro while I eat this one sausage and drink my coffee, or if you don't want to do that, I'm gonna surreptitiously take bites of it through the episode and we'll see if people realize.
I think you should get out of. I think you should get it out of the way.
Okay. You
It would be
happy to
either a
vamp?
co yeah, it would either be a call, as long as you don't take a very long time,
Well,
it would be either
how
a
about this? I'll put myself on mute, and if at any point you pause in your vamping, I'll knock my sound back on and people can hear me chewing.
That sounds absolutely disgusting. All right, please go on mute. We have spoken about maybe going for cold openings for the longest time, just hitting record while we talk because we obviously talk a lot of nonsense before we get going. We've never actually done it, and this is really not a good example of why it would be good. This is a real con in the pros and cons of cold opening, primarily because it would be interactive and me and Mark would be going back and forward. But yes, Mark has just cheersed the camera on his laptop with a very nice espresso cup. And yeah, we're going to talk about the Euro Cup 1 finals today because anyone who stuck with us through that deserves to hear what we have to think about it. We would normally try and get someone who was playing on to talk about it. Someone who will be there but not play will have to do. And yeah, so I'm going to be our boots on the ground for Euro Cup Your one finals. There'll probably be a couple of people who actually put boots on the ground who are playing the EuroLeague one finals, but we'll not get into it. Mark, have you finished?
I've been off mute for like probably 35 seconds
Yeah,
there.
no, I heard you. I was just like, I'm not going to be like, oh, thank God he's back. I wanted to finish. But yeah, we're going to do some EuroLeague one stuff. We were like, who do we get in for that? And I was like, oh yeah, I'll just do it.
This was we've had a couple of people in mind. I won't spoil the person we went for initially because we reached out to somebody who sent back without a shadow of a doubt. My favorite response we have ever gotten when
But
reaching
yeah,
out.
we will leave that. We'll leave
We'll.
that for if this person ever actually comes on the podcast
Yep.
because it was great and we loved it so much. Like it was a sort of a hey, maybe not because X, Y, and Z, and we were both just like, we need to get this guy on the podcast. This is so great.
The
That's not to say
authenticity
if
was
that's not to say if
crackling
you
as.
message us and go, hey, it's not really my thing. We've had that before, which we always respect. We're like, hey, do you want to come on the podcast? Because we've had people who've been like, nah, I'm all right, thanks. It's not really my thing. Which is far better than people who have said yes when it's not really their thing. But yeah.
Right, okay. We as people listening to this probably know, at this point we recorded a Euro Cup 2 preview with Colin Higgins a few weeks back now. We got that one done pre-repechage with the idea that we would record these previews once the field was set, and then we would be able to sit on these and release them drip by drip in the week leading up to the tournament. And in our defense, we still will be releasing them in the week leading up to the tournament. Only difference is we got one out of the way about 3 weeks beforehand and then sat on our hands for 2.5 weeks. And we're now recording one today and one tomorrow.
Yeah,
So
we're in a mad rush. I described it yesterday as like we're
if
sprinting towards the finish line that we drew 3 weeks ago ourselves and then just kind of walked towards. We're like, oh God, yeah, time's running out. This is stress of our own making.
Yeah, so if anyone was wondering why Euro Cup 2 came out first when we could have gone either Euro Cup 1, 2, 3 or 3, 2, 1 in a more logical order, the answer is because sometimes we get in our own way and then we find a way to make up for it. On that note, you are on your way, not just yet, but you will be in a couple of days. You are on your way to the Adriatic coast to play Euro Cup 1 finals in Giulianova. Have you ever been there before?
No,
No.
I've heard it's fine. This time of year, I've heard it's quite nice. I think it's one of those places that it's like holiday-ish, and it's like, hey, it's a bit cold in the winter, and no one bothers. That's the vibe I was given, but I don't know. Can you
Yeah.
confirm or deny this?
I heard about how great it was for ages before we went there, and then my away game when we went there was in December.
Yeah,
So
pointless, isn't it?
it's
Yeah.
like, well, you can go sit on the beach if you want, insane English person.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm
we
just
are.
excited to have like five espressos a day. Like I was drinking a bad Spanish espresso last week, just being like, more week, one more week, one more week. Because yeah, that's I think I play basketball to drink coffees in weird places. No, I'm looking forward to it, man. It's just another cool place that this sport has taken me, which is always very exciting, and I don't want to lose sight of that. Like, it's funny how you're like, I have to go to a random place in Europe for free to play a sport that I love and get picked. Shut up. Like, I mean, I've definitely complained about journeys as recently as like a week ago, but
You were
whatever.
complaining about a journey before we hit record.
Exactly.
Right. Shall we recap the field and how these teams got here and what we can expect?
All right. So, Group A in the EuroLeague one that we've just been talking about is Giulianova as hosts, Gran Canaria, Sitting Bulls, and Wiesbaden. And do you want to do Group B?
Group B, the relative group of death for this tournament is Fenerbahce, Santo Stefano, Bilbao, and Cologne. So I think I speak for everybody when I say bad luck, Cologne, who are probably looking at that other group and being like, man, we would have had a crack if we'd have been in that
Is
one.
that such a common feature of tournaments, isn't it? The team that if only they were in the other group. Like I remember thinking last year with Bilbao in our Champions Cup quarterfinals, we crossed over with El Union and Turingen, and Landale maybe didn't look as good comparatively. And I was like, maybe we'd have had a crack of them last year. And then this year, it was kind of the opposite, where I was like, oh man, maybe if we could have had a crack at Turingen. But I was probably wrong both times, but that's just teams are able to talk themselves into it.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, that's a very end of season thing, being like, if X, Y, and Z, you talk yourself into it not being as bad as it was.
So the usual format for these previews is we have a guest on, we talk to them about some of the teams, we ask them what they think is going to happen, and they predict themselves to not lose a game, and then the other teams to fall in place roughly as you would expect.
You meant to ask me how I got started in wheelchair basketball and the weirdest things I've seen in a basketball court and all that stuff as well. That's how this is meant to go.
We'll get to that. It would be funny if we did an episode one time where we just treated it as if you were the guest.
I'll just interview you someday about that stuff.
So yeah, we are gonna attack this one slightly differently, and we're basically gonna go through the teams, probably in some rough order of likelihood as to their success, with the question of can we pull together one believable reason as to why this team might sneak out and win the whole thing? Which, the more I've thought about it as we've settled on this as the premise for the episode, is looking increasingly like how can this team beat Fenerbahce? Or in Fenerbahce's case, can they bounce back from the one game they lost this season, which has been just this past weekend? And nothing makes wheelchair basketball look more amateur than the fact there was a live stream set up and ready to go, and somebody didn't hit play.
Yeah. Do you
So
think you're
that game
talking as
is like wheelchair basketball's answer to the 1992 Dream Team scrimmage, because there's one Fenerbahce loss all season and there's no video of
Yeah, that
it.
was one of the awards I gave up in courtside cliches in the first time, wasn't it? About a game that we couldn't watch. I was quite pleased with that one. Making fun of something with a cultural reference is like my favorite thing to do. So that was great. First question, you're talking as if you have Fenerbahce as the prohibitive favorites. Is that true?
Based on everything I've seen of them this year, which granted is less than other
Which is
teams.
like 2.5 games. Like we've seen the warm-up of them against Hanover, and then now the game is somewhere else, but it's funny that it's just at the bottom of their playlist. But yeah,
No,
sorry.
you're right. Yeah, I think that I'll get it out of the way first. We'll touch on them in more detail a bit later. But yeah, I think they're the favorites. Until I think they're the favorites until one of you or San Stefano, when you come to face them, if you guys are able to make them quake a little bit, then I think there's some questions to be asked. But based off of what we've seen up to this point of all the teams involved, I would say Fenerbahce are the favorites. You will say Bilbao are the favorites, but we'll settle those differences as we get into more detail on each team.
Yeah, I don't know who's a favorite, but I would like I'm gonna call us to win it, obviously, because I would, and also because I believe in our ceiling. Rather
And
than
also because if you didn't believe in your team, you wouldn't be allowed to say that on
No,
the
that's true. I've said that every time I do this, I'm like, I'm saying this because I have to and because I mean it. But yeah.
record. Right. Shall we start with some of the cross-offs?
Sure. Is there any way that Sitting Bulls can put together a mad run and like can they make it out of their group? Like could they come second in that group, for example?
I think the only way they come second in that group is if we get into some. I've not looked at the game by game schedule of their pool particularly. I know you spoke about what is happening with your one, but I think the only path is some weird three-way tie histrionics between the teams you would expect to, and Sitting Bulls sneaking a win off one of them.
Yeah, like the group play equivalent of like that video where what's the sport that people skate around in circles and do laps? But there's a video of that where like everyone in the pack just falls over and bumps into each other, and then the person at the back just skates through first. Yeah.
Yeah, but by definition, if there is a pile of rubble, a particular piece of rubble has to end up on top, and that most often happens by random chance. I think it depends on what you think. We'll get to the other teams in the pool, but I think it very much depends on the other teams in there. And if I'm being entirely honest, I look at Sitting Bulls and I'm like, well, the best team we've seen them go up against relative to their own is Porto Torres, who they lost to. Porto Torres that went to Champions Cup and got smacked. And they beat the Flintstones in the Austrian League most recently. I can't believe you haven't referenced that yet, because would obviously watch such a thing. And yeah, Flintstones are down in EuroLeague too. So I don't know if that fills us in on how they stack up against any of Gran Canaria, Gilanova, or Wiesbaden.
No.
I think that their cleanest path to a win is they've got some size, and Wiesbaden are kind of small, and I think Wiesbaden being small is going to be a theme that comes up. But whatever the height difference is, I don't think it closes the skill gap between them and Wiesbaden.
No, I think I could see Wiesbaden being like, a bit small, are we? All right, cool. Get over the halfway line. I dare you. I could see a couple of presses in this group.
Yeah, I don't think they touch Gran Canaria really under
No.
any circumstances. So I think their best options for stealing a win are size advantage against Wiesbaden, or the fact that Gilanova aren't really offensively juiced enough to really run clear of anybody other than teams significantly worse than them. And they've got a couple of guys that Cavagnini's not going to push around. I mean, we're talking about all of this. We say, what's the path in winning it? If they, in those long shot circumstances, if they're able to sneak into top two of their group, they're crossing over to a team that almost certainly will press them and grind them into dust. So
Yeah.
if they land against San Stefano or Fenerbahce and they win one of those games, good for them.
Yes. All right. Cool. Okay, crossovers in the other group. I think there's a very clear difference between those guys and Cologne. Like I think Cologne are a higher level basketball team with higher level players who compete weekly at a higher level. So I think they're I can see, well, for one, I could see Cologne doing better in the other group, as you said, but also I could see Cologne being more likely to steal a win or two than anything because they're well put together. And also, they did, obviously, they didn't look great in their Champions Cup group in the first place, but they were missing a couple of guys. They were missing Robin Bogdanovic, and I don't know who else, but
Asil Shabo was missing, but
yes, that was the other one. So, like, there you go.
well,
Like,
when you say they didn't look great, what are you implying about Lacane? Because didn't they beat Lacane by double digits?
yes, good point. Yeah, they
Yeah,
did. Lekane also didn't look great.
to say the least.
I completely forgot about that. That was crazy.
That was
A
wild.
wild group.
Yeah, I think that the Cologne one is tough. I almost wish Cologne had ended up in the other group, because if we're accepting Sitting Bulls are a cross off, I would have much rather seen them take up fourth place in the group with you guys, Fenerbahce and San Stefano.
Oh,
and
same.
seen
Like,
and
same.
seen and seen that four-way kind of. I think Cologne are worse than Wiesbaden because we've seen that play out in the German league. But
Did Cologne beat them once?
no, Cologne beat Hanover, I think, was
Ah, yes, okay.
Wiesbaden's only random loss was to Munsterland,
Munsterland,
which
okay. I knew that there's like I
yeah.
knew like there was something in there from listening and being a part of our podcast with you. I knew there was something, but I don't remember because I feel like the German league has been finished for 3 months.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? It's like Italy playing their playoffs at the end of February as well. I feel like what's going on here.
Italy having seven cups at the end of their thing by the looks of it.
Julian over actually rolling out of their off season. Like, I wonder if the like foreign guys on Julian over have been like, man, I could have gone home for like 2 months and come back for this
Although
tournament.
if you stick wintertime Gilianova and then you have a month off in like April with the sun's
Yeah,
actually out, you're probably like, am I going home?
that's a valid point. Yeah, I guess we'll phrase it with Cologne. You guys have obviously played them once in your qualifying group already, which is a fun little subplot to this. There's a couple of early stage rematches
Yeah.
potentially because I think we might see Gran Canaria and San Stefano clash again.
Quite interesting.
Yeah, you guys have played them once, you weren't there, and then they're gonna take on San Stefano and Fenerbahce in the group. Do we see a way in which Cologne crack the top two? And the answer to that question isn't resoundingly no, or did the other three teams not turn up?
Yes, there's a world in which like Robin being back really helps them in terms of their versatility and being able to play a bit quicker. But it still does the big fella go nuts? Like,
Yeah.
I've completely blanked in his. Oh no,
Bulut cut out.
Bulut Kodal. Oh my goodness, so sorry. Yeah, does Bulut Kodal just have, go like 12 from 14 in a big game? Robin hits a couple of threes. They're big and they're versatile defensively. I think they have a couple of. I feel like there were a couple of games this year that it was like, hey, we're all mids, we're big, three mids and a one, and there were games that it was like, haha, four big constantly, or three big and two ones. Like I feel like they looked like three different teams across, the whole season. So that's either on the plus side of that is versatility. The other side is that it of that is. I don't know. Do they push the right buttons at the right time? But yeah, if you get a big Robin game and a bigger Bulut Kodal game, or Chabot chips in, we're big Thomas Ryer fans here. Like they have talent. Like they could score well enough to surprise someone. But I don't know. I don't know if it sustains. Like they'd have to win two games to get through, and I don't see them doing it twice. Maybe.
For me, they are mainly from a stylistic standpoint, I think they are most likely to take the game from San Stefano. Just because I think San Stefano doing the whole thing of like spread of size, no giants. And games in like the 50s and 60s generally. I think if you then roll out to play them with real giants, and I don't think Cologne aren't like the best offensive team in the world, but I struggle to see, unless San Stefano press them the entire game, I still think they should get shots up in the half court. And I
That
think
is
they,
definitely will press them the entire game
yeah,
for sure. But
quite.
like you've got a guy that like Robin who can keep the ball safe, and you've got enough mids and you've got enough handling. Basically, that you might be able to spread the ball out enough because they don't press five up all the time. Like that's not the
And
issue.
even if San Stefano pressed, I don't think if you were to tell me now San Stefano are going to press these guys for 40 minutes, do they score above or below 50 points? I think I would edge above 50, and that gives me a chance to think it's not completely unreasonable because San Stefano have random games where they score 80 against Galatasaray, and then they have games where they play Gilianova in the Italian semi-finals and they score 53 or whatever. So it's like,
Yeah.
yeah. So I think the path to that win is there, and then you guys have already proved yourselves against them. So yeah, if they're able to steal another one, then I certainly don't see what the roadmap to that is, but we, as we've known with these Euro Cup things, we've been drastically wrong about these things before. So that if Cologne's best hope to winning the whole thing is the fact that we've been wrong about stuff, then I don't know what that says about us or them, quite
Yeah.
honestly.
And maybe my calls about all the teams in my group is wishful thinking as well. Like there's a little bit of a spin on there where I'm like, worst case scenario, this team looks like, which is no, that's not true. It's probably right to think of the best case scenario and kind of work back from there if they're worse than you thought. But I think they have a pretty high ceiling. Like the two Dutch threes can hit shots and threes specifically, and Bilal Godal might be, like I said, there's a couple of games I've watched this year that I'm like, has this guy gone like 14 from 10, or what are we doing here? This guy's shooting 140%. But yeah, I think certainly against some of the more mobile teams, that might be a priority to make sure he doesn't get to spots that he can shoot 140%. I would argue that that should be a priority if someone were to shoot 140%. What are we doing here? What analysis? All
Not a
right.
great deal. Pick your next
Yes.
team.
What's sorry?
Pick your next team.
No. Right here. We're gonna go in order then. We'll go Giulianova, the host. What are your thoughts? Can you My big question for them is, like, do they get pressed twice in their group, and are they fine with it?
I think they are fine with it.
Yeah, they've spent the whole year being pressed. Like they beat San Stefano once, lost twice.
They beat San Stefano. They've got the mobile. Their problem is that their drop off from like their two most mobile guys in Shea Baba-Baye and Jaylen Brown to the rest of their team is pretty stark. Cavanini's got the kind of mobility is too charitable of a word for it, I would say, but he's got the kind of thing where if you haven't picked him up full court on the press, if he gets momentum,
He's a runaway train, is what you're going for. Like it's the, hey, you better stop him early, or there's no stopping him away.
would it surprise you entirely if like Cavanini was spotted at some point breaking the press against Wiesbaden and you had to squint to realize not only was he breaking the press, but he had like Jim thrown over his shoulder in a fireman's lift while he was pushing. That probably would,
That would surprise me. Like that.
but you get what I mean.
Yeah. I think that's the thing as well. Like there's a thing of, we've spoken about this previously with like Italian teams that get pressed a lot, where they're like, hey, we know exactly what's going to happen. Like I could tell you how Giulianova break a press right now, and so could the three teams that are going to play them. But it doesn't matter if you execute it very well. Yeah, Barbibai's great through contact with the ball in his hands as well, which always helps. There's times where I'm like, oh, he's going to get stopped. Oh no, he hasn't been stopped. All right, he's gone through someone. And obviously, as you said, there's a bit of a drop off mobility wise, but Yoel is pretty quick as a one, and they're pretty handy apart from that. But yeah, they'll be well organized. But I wonder if, especially to negate the size, I wonder if Wiesbaden are like, all right, cool, five up, whatever, or three. I don't know. Gran Canaria, I don't think need to worry about the height as much, because not only can Salazar handle Cavanini, I can't wait to watch it. Like that'll be a scrap.
Cavanini and Salazar is gonna be like, I don't know, if you saw two guys fighting over an item that was like bolted to the floor and it was just like commando crawling and punching at the same time.
That's a weird analogy. Yes, okay.
I wonder with Giulianova if we're going to see them pull out a tough game through the press to get themselves top two. And then I wonder if by the time they've been pressed by Wiesbaden, pressed by Gran Canaria to some extent, I don't think Gran Canaria will press them for the like a whole game. I wonder if they will then cross over and just be completely gone because Cavanini, when it was like crunch time in the Italian playoffs, was playing 40 minutes a game.
He fell off a cliff in the second half of the second game in a row. They played two games in 2 days against Santo Stefano, and they like took him out at halftime of the second game. Like It'll be the long form example, as I spoke about before, the long form example of when a coach is like, we're not pressing to get steals, we're pressing. So in the fourth quarter, their arms will be tight. Yeah. All right. Cool. Saturday morning. Let's see how you feel.
But I don't know. I think how high you are on Giulianova to finish top two in their group depends on what you think Barbabai and Jaylen Brown can do in terms of carrying the offense, because you, me and you both watched those Italian playoffs games where they played San Stefano, and there's stretches where Jaylen Brown looks like the best player to ever live, and then there's like the second game when they figured him out a little bit was like five from high teens or low 20s, I think, just on being forced into a lot more difficult shots. And yeah, they've not got a lot of depth, but I wonder if they have between those guys and Stupinenko when he comes in and they go a bit smaller. I wonder if they've got just enough shooting that they can kind of still get shots away in the late half court offense if they do break the press. But that's a lot of ifs to chain together to say that these guys might ultimately carry on and win the whole tournament.
Yeah, but the fact that I don't know which of the teams I would call them over out of Gran Canaria or Wiesbaden tells you that I'm like not that into either of them. I think it's get out of a press and like Cavanini hits a load of like elbow post ups with 1 second on the shot clock, or Barbaï hits a load of like threes or like perimeter stuff late shot clock against Wiesbaden. That seems more likely than like Gran Canaria, I think, can sort of press in some way and also still have size on the floor. Like their four is their quickest play, like Ramone's rapid. So I don't think Gran Canaria, as you said, I don't think Gran Canaria are going to press them like five up for 40 minutes. I think they'll probably throw different things at them, or they'll do some sort of like halfway line high line stuff or what, I don't know. They're mostly a half court defensive team, but that's a good question as well, just in general, like philosophically. How far from what you normally do and what you're good at do you go if you think the other team is bad at something? Like, how much not like you are you willing to look to take advantage of something else? Like, does it, like, I always joke about it, like, teams that definitely don't press have pressed us this year, for example. Like that's something I think about quite regularly. Like, how off script would you go to be like, hey, this team sucks at this thing?
We can make them be a more suboptimal version of themselves by becoming a slightly less suboptimal version of ourselves is like the trade-off. There is a weird one.
Yeah, like we drop from like a six out of from like an 8 out of 10 to a 6 out of 10 defensively, but they're gonna drop from like a 5 out of 10 to a 2 defensively, offensively is kind of the trade-off. But I don't, like, it'll be interesting to see if a team that doesn't normally press is like, all right, let's go against some of these teams.
Okay. Can I bridge from, have you anything else on Giulianova?
No, that's it. I think they could scrape a win against one of the two teams that I would think are better than them in the group if Barbie Bay has 30 something, which he did in the Italian playoffs a year ago, a couple of times, or if Cavanini or Jaylen Brown goes nuts. That's kind of it.
I'm with you. So I will bridge Wiesbaden here, because I think this the like three teams that are going to be fighting for two spots in this group are the most interesting bit of the tournament, I think. Wiesbaden didn't play it a lot in the German league, but we saw it in their qualification round, which was admittedly weaker competition than this, but by no means weak competition in of itself. They went more with the lineup, the kind of stacking the points lineup where they go Moji, K, and then I think it's Mikey and Juice and Boots. I think that's
Yes.
the lineup. They're going to roll that out at some point here. And I think that might ultimately be the lineup that spells death for Giulianova, because I think they can definitely press with that unit, given that they can stash Boots on one of Giulianova's lows. But is that kind of two lineup approach that Wiesbaden have, where they go with their starters, where Heiss and Jim play, or then they stack the points and put Boots in there. Is that going to give them enough versatility that they potentially end up beating both Giulianova and Gran Canaria? Or do you think Gran Canaria are slightly nose ahead of them?
That four big-ish lineup with boots on the floor hasn't really played as much as I imagine they thought it was going to when they made those signings. But I think it's a hasn't quite worked out exactly like they wanted it to thing. But I think it's been like it was Landale they played not long ago, and they were in a game, in a game, in a game, and then a couple of shots went the wrong way, and they all of a sudden were out of it, and they went to that. So I think it's kind of a break glass in case of emergency lineup. But it would be interesting to see if they went like, all right, they played Yelena and they go, all right, cool, we're also going four big and a low pointer. Like, okay, anyone try and break Moji's press, like, or whatever. They wouldn't press for that, I don't think, but maybe.
I
Like
think
so
Matt, I
be up
think
for
matchup
it.
specific, they might do it in the Gilanova game. I don't think they, it's not a plan in their notebook typically, I wouldn't say,
No,
but I think they
especially
got
when
that.
you can go even with a one on the floor like Jim, who is as mobile and good as Jim is defensively, like when you can press with a one on the floor anyway, like they're not small. When like Jim and Nico obviously aren't that big, but like they're not small. They're still three bigs on the floor. Like he's sort of mid but good reach and certainly not a small guy. So I don't I could see them. It that's also the question of like, hey, a team does this thing. Do you try really hard to match up with them, or do you go the complete opposite way and just flatten them out? Like a team goes three big and two ones. Do you also want bigs, or do you want to press? Like that's the most extreme example, but like it's the most common one as well.
Yeah, sure.
I don't. I could see them if they see that. I could see them just being like, "Hey, we're gonna go our mobile five interchangeable." Mids, four mids in gym, like we'll do that lineup, but harder before they do anything else. You know what I mean?
No, I get you.
But yeah, no, I think it's enough to carry them over both of those teams potentially. I think Gran Canaria of Wiesbaden is going to be a hell of a game, crucially. But I think the fact that Gran Canaria don't need to bend too much to be quick enough to deal with Wiesbaden. Whilst like they could still be big while doing that means I think they'll probably come out on top just for being able to kind of play both ways at the same time.
What I'm hoping might happen in the specific matchup you just mentioned is Wiesbaden have more or less gone away entirely from the one for one Moji in for Heiss swap, which is understandable given that Heiss average is 21 points a game, but
21 points in one game. 21 points a game.
I hope that we get to see that sub made when it gets to Wiesbaden Gran Canaria because I want to see Moji and Ramone press each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like that would be complete. That could actually descend into a fist fight. I think there would be some flames coming out of ears in that scenario.
You
Moji is
say
also.
this, I know nothing about the temperament of either man that would lead me to think that they would
I
go
don't know
fist.
anything. I don't know anything about Ramone. I've heard secondhand that Moji is apparently the nicest, sweetest guy you will ever meet, so I don't think it, like, I doubt it would happen, but they're too
It'll just turn
extreme.
into a race. But yeah.
Okay, do you want to dip across the other group again, or shall we proceed on to Gran Canaria?
We're there with Gran Canaria, aren't we?
We are
Would
indeed.
you think they're favorites for this group? Or am I wrong? Maybe it's familiarity. Also, I think like Wiesbaden Gran Canaria is going to be an unbelievable game, so I'm not that far off thinking Wiesbaden are, but I just think like their best lineup being to 13 points is kind of tough. Or 13 and a half, or whatever it is. Although it's with female point reduction, so they're over points. Like, but you know what I mean?
I would be tempted to give Gran Canaria the edge here. Having a quick glance at the schedule, they're going to catch Gilanova at the end of day one. So after Gilanova have already played Wiesbaden,
Oh,
so
yeah.
they will get a weakened Gilanova team fatten up on that one, and then
Wait,
they'll
hold
play.
on. Sorry, does that mean did you say Gilanova play Gran Canaria and Wiesbaden in the same day? Yeah, Gilanova. I don't think they're. I think that slightly lengthens their odds to win one or both of those games.
Just wait till we jump to the other side and we can talk about Bilbao's schedule.
That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, It's going to come down to that game on the Saturday morning, which is going to be appointment viewing. I am tempted to think it's also going to be great. We're going to get a KD versus Juice shootout. I think everybody else should clear out for at least one quarter.
Yeah.
But
Just like throw the ball to either of them in the elbow and just let go.
yeah, I think they can match each other offensively, with the exception of, I don't think there is a natural matchup for Ramone on the Wiesbaden roster, at least in their starting five. And I think we've seen Wiesbaden's most impressive wins have been against Hanover during the season, and I just think they are better against, like, Hanover obviously have the size advantage on them and stuff, but I think Hanover are a methodical team. Obviously, Sean Norris is. You could probably dial up footage of younger Sean Norris that looked a little bit like Ramone if you squinted, but not so much these days. And yeah, I just think they're going to struggle with. They already struggle with size with Salazar there, who will actually get to not be punching upwards for the first time in, many, many games. He might legitimately be the biggest guy on the floor in those games.
Yeah,
And
I think that's the X factor for me. Like,
yeah, I think it between the physicality between Ramone and Salazar, I think gives Gran Canaria the edge, but I also think the Wiesbaden spread of offense when they're able to get their floor balance right and they get Mikey and Juice and Nico balanced out might be tough, because that actually looks a lot like the old Gran Canaria teams that everyone always said were like the best offense in the world, even though they
because we made one more pass than everyone
passed
else.
it. Passed it twice and then shot from the weak side.
Yes.
Revolutionary thinking.
Every
But
so often we didn't have a shot and my screen wasn't good enough, so we had to move it back.
yeah,
Like, hey, reset. I didn't protect Rose well enough. Like,
I actually think I think shooting's gonna be the X factor, because I think both teams have, like, KD's obviously Gran Canaria's best shooter. But I think Wiesbaden have better spread of consistent shooting. Like, obviously Ramone can get hot, but it's not, you don't start out every single game being like, hey, jump Ramone the second he touches the ball. Like, you try and
he
not
had 20 a game last year. What do we do? I know he's no longer the, like, because Katie's so good, you kind of have to not sell out on him a bit, but yeah.
yeah, but it's not even that. It's more that he's so dangerous once you're out of position that you almost have to. You can live with him making like his first two or three shots and testing him, because if he's happy to sit behind the screen and shoot for like the whole first quarter, you can call that a win.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think the it wouldn't surprise me if this game, would it surprise you more if this game ended up like 78-76, or if it was that both teams flying around and trying to cancel each other out made it be like 56-53?
I think the low sc I don't know. I think the low score might surprise me more because I think there's just enough guys that, like, you're telling me basically there, you're saying like Ramone, Katie, Salazar, Juice, Mikey, or Nico don't get going. Like, I think three or four of those guys will get going at some point. I think it's just, I don't know, can Gran Canaria fly around and follow the ball, but or are they content with selling out on perimeter scoring because they know they've got a size advantage? Like their Euro Cup lineup, they pretty much play four big. No, they do. Like, it's Salazar, Ramone, Basti Kolb's massive, Katie and David, who is pretty mobile for a one pointer in his 40s. It's nuts, but
Calling it four big and Ramone as their highest point guy, if you factor in the deductions, Ramone being the smallest of their four bigs is wild.
yeah, but that's
But yeah.
legitimately massive, and pretty mobile as well. Like, Ramon is obviously unbelievably quick. Katie can move, Jorge can move, Bastian can move, David's quick. Like, I think being able to, like, get to those shooters and be like, nah, all right, like, go inside. I've, like, jumped a little early because I might have to. I'm slightly out of position, but if you go inside, you've got one of these guys waiting at the rim. I think that might make a difference, but I don't know.
Who are you calling for that one?
Gran Canaria, based on everything that I've talked myself into it, even though I already started from this position. So I've confirmed what I think, but also one of the best games of the tournament. So I'm not that wed to it.
To oppose you.
What, sorry?
I said I will go Wiesbaden just to oppose you.
Do you mean that, or is it just because
I was 50-50 anyway, but I think it's more interesting if we don't just agree on stuff.
yeah, I think we have pretty similar opinions on a lot of stuff, so that's probably where it comes from.
Okay.
I think we've grown up in an echo chamber, so yeah.
If we agree on, are Bilbao going to make it into the semi-finals?
Yes.
Okay. So this is where the disagreement. No, I don't think it is.
I think it is. I don't think you think we're gonna make it out of that group, do you?
No, I've actually talked myself into you guys more, the more I've thought about it as we've gotten ready to record today.
Oh, thank God.
Put it this way. You guys will obviously be living with the memory of getting quite thoroughly shellacked by San Stefano when you played them last year.
It was funny. I did a bit of. There was a guy coming. It came into training yesterday, and he was interviewing some people. And for some reason, they were like, "James, you don't really speak Spanish. Do you want to do an interview here?" And he was like, "Yeah, obviously, you're going to want to have another go at San Stefano, aren't you?" And he was like, "Blah blah blah. You know, obviously, they beat us by quite a bit. I don't remember." And then it was like, "It was 18. I remember exactly how many it was." But but yeah, different groups. Two different groups this year, so it's kind of not the same thing. I say that like both teams are very stylistically sort of like cemented. So yeah.
Yeah, no,
Although
you're
like
right.
their slight change is going in one direction, our slight change is Patrick Anderson plays for us now. So it's a pretty big
Okay.
X factor.
Done wonders for your results so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think, but this is like precisely, and you also get them. So you, as I alluded to a second ago, you draw them in the morning and Fenerbahce in the afternoon.
Hey, whoever did this to us, what's going on?
I actually like it if I'm you guys because I think San Stefano is more the winnable game anyway because they are as good as they are at what they do. They are the offensive team that Fenerbahce are, and you don't have to keeping up with their scoring is less of a concern than it is against Fenerbahce, I think, because their scoring kind of comes off of brute force more so than anything else. So I actually think the best thing you can do is completely sell out and give everything to try and beat them. And if you end up tired and losing the game to Fenerbahce in the afternoon, I don't think that's really any like I don't think any amount of saving your energy against Stefano would really swing the result of the Fenerbahce game is what I'm saying. You may disagree with me on that one, but I think you at least have the chance to go in and play San Stefano fresh, and they give them your best shot.
Yeah, I don't think anyone plays and saves energy unless you're blowing a team out or getting blown out
Okay.
anyway, so I don't think that would be relevant. But like, and I think there's a roadmap to beating both of those teams, depending on what they do, obviously. I don't know. I know what they do, but depending on how they look at us and how they feel like they want to defend us, I think. Without going too much into it, it's really funny how I'm like, oh, this is really great. Like, well, listen to this podcast, these guys talk about everything. And also, we have James who plays for one of these teams and then says nothing about it.
Sworn to secrecy.
Yeah, also, just if I had any good ideas, people I would be telling about it were in my team. I'm sure they've got nothing from me. So.
Well, we were having this conversation away from the podcast this morning about like coaches we've had who have got in touch and been like, "Hey, I love listening to you guys." We're like, does that make us feel better about us or not better about you?
Yeah, I think we ask good questions about how the world of wheelchair basketball thing is and how people think about it, and maybe those guys have the answers. Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, that could well be.
I do a lot of like, does it make sense that teams always do this? And then I'm like, I don't know. And like, when I try and think of my answer for X, Y, or Z thing, it'll take me 45 minutes in a WhatsApp to you and Mendel. Whereas, like, if I were ever sitting in a game, being like, does it make sense? That's too late. Like. I should have filed, but didn't, or whatever.
No, I get it. So yeah, obviously, we're talking San Stefano here. You guys have this season struggled with teams that press you as you alluded to with saying that even teams that don't typically press have given it a crack. I think that the benefit of the San Stefano matchup is if you're able to get through the early stages of the press, I think the thing you've struggled with quite often, you're getting pressed by teams who are actually bigger than you once you get to the half court. When Iluni on pressed you guys, and then it's like, oh, cool, we've got through. And then it's Bill and Hasso on the back line. You're like, oh, cool, let's all now get through the press and then get on each other's shoulders and see if we can score over these guys. But I actually think, unless De Miranda's playing, which he isn't playing a huge amount of minutes, and also,
He's
I
starting for them.
Yeah, but he plays like 6 minutes in the first quarter. He's the Jonas Valanciunas, or like old school Derek Favors ceremonial NBA big who does the tip off and then is like, right, okay, go and play the modern basketball now. I really like him. He just doesn't fit with. He's very much a second unit luxury type guy who happens to start some games. But yeah, I think you guys, if you're able to get through the early stage of the press, I think are not a huge size disadvantage against San Stefano. And I mean, it was execution that made you struggle with them last time. And if the guy you've brought in to your team this year can't pull a bit of sophistication into the execution against a team that plays hell for leather, and you know, they're good at what they do, but they're not the most disciplined team. They're just very adept at making up for their mistakes in real time. And I feel like Pat is there to punish that.
Yeah, there's a bit of seat of your pants thing to what they do. And they're amazing at it. And the whole thing is just like it's so high pressure that it kind of doesn't matter that there are holes in it. It's like the thing of if we sell out in the ball so hard that you don't notice that there's a cut on the backside. Like if like we've got two on the ball, and it's like NBA teams do it. Every team does it. Like at some point, maybe not as aggressively, but a lot of able-bodied teams do it when they trap, where it's like, hey, you're two on one, but like where? You can't see it right now because
You're
I
two
am.
on one, but you've had to turn your whole body the other way to protect the ball.
But obviously it caused us a lot of problems last year. But I don't know, it's like, do we get better looks this year, or are we better at making the bad looks this year? Both could be yes. But yeah, no, it'll be interesting. That is the problem that we are here to solve, and it's been a problem that we've known we've needed to solve for a while now. Like as in we've known that we've had Santo Stefano in our group. But I want another go
Yeah,
at it.
definitely.
But yeah, they're good, man. Like Bedzetti's been good internationally. He's been very good for the last year or so now. He's been pretty good at club level, and it's gonna be a good one. I'm interested to see how well we stand up to their intensity. I think we can. Like, I think we can do it. I was talking to someone about it yesterday. You know, when you watch a team and they're like, oh, they press really hard, or they send two of the ball constantly and they're pretty intense and this, that, and the other. And you're like, okay, so we know they're gonna do this, we're ready for it. And then you come out and the first time someone's on your foot plate, you're like, oh my God, I had no idea it was gonna be like this. That's no longer the case. I think that's kind of what happened to us last year. Like they got on a run early. We were like, oh my goodness.
I think it's a real it is a thing that happens in basketball where because there's certain buzzwords about like, you know, pushing hard and like crossing the floor or moving the ball. I think most teams actually think that they do that by default, and then you run into a team that actually lives and breathes that, and you're like, oh, right, this is what it looks like when five guys do that the entire time.
You're like, oh, this guy will actually just empty the tank for 40 minutes. Like he will sprint on every defense to try and make your life hell. Like,
We've unofficially transitioned into talking about San Stefano rather than you guys now, but I think one thing we should talk about in terms of this group that you guys are in with them and Fenerbahce is essentially if you guys are able to crack the semifinals, or whoever does crack the semifinals from your group is going to be fairly heavily favored against the teams on the other side, I would think.
Yeah, do you think so?
I would.
Would you call any of the three stronger teams in our group against any of the two that we have called to, or either of the two that we've called to get through the other group?
So we're writing off Julianova.
Okay, no, pick Giulianova as well. Would you
Okay, well,
call any of our three to go through any of their three?
We can write off Jillian Uber because I think we've said that playing both Wiesbaden and Gran Canaria are on the same day, so I'm not picking them to go through.
That's a tough gig.
And no disrespect to them, and also they beat San Stefano earlier, but if they earlier in the season, but if they get through San Ste to play San Stefano, they'll have gotten through both Wiesbaden and Gran Canaria and be running on fumes. So I'm unofficially crossing off Jillian Uber. Best of luck to them. I think you go back to the Euro Cup that was in Cantu, and you'll have to remind me which way around the three-way tie went, but I think Gran Canaria beat San Stefano by three.
Something like that.
In that one. I struggle because I actually think both teams have had their high point of the season already, and I think are slightly on the downslide now. Gran Canaria is obviously a longer season because they have been still playing games and such. They've also had a bunch of guys away at the repechage. Shouts to Chris Casarino, who beat Joventut single-handedly while they were missing like three or four guys.
Legend. Love to see it.
But yeah, I think, put it this way, I was not expecting Gran Canaria to beat San Stefano first time out because I felt like San Stefano were the best equipped team to stop Ramone. It ended up being Katie who did most of the damage, which could very well be the case again.
I think the Gran Canaria ball movement stuff, where it's like, all right, you're going two on the ball, and we are big enough to pass over it, to pass out of it. And then we, like, there was like, Giddy Dandana, who is number one on every scouting report that you play, Gran Canaria at this point for a lot of the teams. It's like she ended up with like 2-on-1 behind David's screen, catch, shoot, money. And you're like, hey, like this is what you're giving up if people, it's a high risk, high reward thing, but it's like, this is what you're giving up if you can get the ball out of those sticky spots. And I think Gran Canaria being able to pass as well as they do, but while being massive, I think that really killed them. I was watching that game yesterday, and this is my point to segue very briefly into the fact that whoever is running whatever piece of machinery they use to change between camera angles in Cantu should be just tied up somewhere that he can't reach that button, because it is an
Wish the
absolute
best.
disgrace.
Wish the best in their future endeavors. Didn't we get a
Yeah.
message from somebody when we laughed about it last time?
Oh,
When
did we? Oh, God, I'm so
we... Yeah, I think
sorry.
so. Or not even us, sorry. We mentioned the weird camera angles, and I think I hope I've got this right because I'm going to try and get it right off the dome. But I think Ayaka clipped that bit of the podcast and was like, this was really frustrating for me as well. And then somebody came for Ayaka being like, just so you know, I do this for free. If you don't like it, I'd like to see you do. I think she
Oh,
just.
well, yeah, no, not to actually criticize anyone's work. I just think maybe like one of the cameras that they switch to just doesn't show anything good. So it's like, if you have two good cameras in good spots, it's probably fine. But I think it's like trying to watch 5-on-5 to like game plan. You're like, all right, cool. Like, there was one point where it was like there was a score and we were gonna see a full offense from an inbound, fully like well structured with the halfway line camera that you could see all 10 players, and then they just switched to like someone's wheel, and I was like, I am so upset about this. Like, this is the cleanest angle I was going to get. But anyway, sorry, I needed to go after that again.
Yeah, to go back to the question, do you think the three from your group top the three from their group? You know, three for three, however the results may shake out. I would certainly say the winner of the tournament is going to come from Group B. I
Yeah.
think individual matchups wise, can Gran Canaria squeak one out against either San Stefano or you guys? They have done before. I don't know how much I buy it. I think San Stefano you have to factor in as amorphous and immeasurable as it may seem. Not only are they defending their Euro Cup one title from last year, they're also doing it in the venue of their rival team in the Italian league because it's like an hour down the road.
They get to
And
cut down someone else's
yeah,
net, which is
if
great.
that doesn't mean they're out for blood to an extent that you can't really fake if you're anybody else, I don't really know what does.
Cutting down someone else's net is so funny.
Well, if they do, they'll have cut down the nets in Cantu last year and Gilianova this year. So they must just be looking around at the Italian league, being like, "Hey guys, best have your spare nets at the ready."
I read that.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say I'm picking San Stefano over any of those three teams in a one-off game, and that makes me feel a bit queasy because I don't think they're as good offensively as either Gran Canaria or Wiesbaden are, but
No.
they have shown their ability to just beat teams into submission through sheer inexactitude and ferocity. That'd be a great podcast name episode. So yeah, last team who bizarrely, at this point, are still something of the mystery box because the Turkish league is quite difficult to follow. But Fenerbahce are here courtesy of running the table at the group in Hanover a little bit ago. Went back and checked them out against Hanover. It gets forgotten about. They beat Hanover by 24,
Yeah,
which is
mental.
more than Landill have beaten Hanover by in their like three or four games combined.
That's one of those where you're like, mark this on the calendar, like set an alarm. I want to watch this. You're like, oh, this was not even
Yeah.
that fun in the end. Like,
They beat Hanover so convincingly that the big Iranian four-pointer who barely ever plays for Fenerbahce, who every time I've watched them, I've been like, why doesn't this guy play? Why doesn't this guy play? Why doesn't this guy play? They actually played him. That's like how comfortable they were. They played a guy they don't trust, who I'm campaigning for to get more minutes. But yeah, I think it's an interesting group for them to be in because they are essentially like best case Santa Stefano at all times, where they can reliably drop 70 to 80 points.
yeah.
And they're going to end up with a severe clash of styles against you guys who are going to try and, methodize your way through them, and pick them apart and use their own aggression against them. And then they're going to go, them playing Santa Stefano is going to be like the Spider-Man's meme, right? So similar to how we were so excited for San Stefano Le Cannae this time last year, and it ended up being like 23-23 at half time or
But
something.
that's what we were excited
Yeah.
about. We're like, man, this is gonna suck.
I just think, man, you look at their lineups, the Iranian guy who's now Turkish citizen, whose name is Yamaç Yüksel at this point, was previously called Morteza Ebrahimi, I think. The big 4-5 with the kind of Elvis hair that he's got going on. That guy is lethal. Like, he's not playing internationally, I guess, because he's moved citizenships and is away from Iran. Iran certainly could have
Yeah.
done with him. Had he still been a citizen of them, he would have certainly helped them at the repechage. But yeah, man, you watch him, and I think he's been forgotten about on the international scene a little bit, but he's probably one of the best four fives in the world, like
He's unbelievable.
top 15-ish,
Massive. Yeah, like,
just off the international scene. And then they've got Toprak and Efe Turk, and they're dangerous, man, and they're so good in the Turkish league that you watch some of these games against these teams we don't know particularly well, and you're like, oh man, Fenerbahce cleaning up, team I've never heard of by 50 points. This must be a really like poor Turkish team. And then you look at the standings, like, oh no, that team was like third place in the league and has beaten everybody else convincingly. It's like,
yeah.
yeah, it's tough, man. They did just lose a game by 6 to Gaziantep, which is Özgür Göblak's team, but even in that game they scored 82. And I don't know if anyone's got scoring power for them. Like, the only way teams will beat them is by completely dragging them down and making it a defensive battle, but they also might be fixed up to win those as well.
Yeah, they're pretty big across the board, even like they go the three guys you've mentioned, then they go another pretty big player and a female low pointer who is the one of the tallest female low pointers I've ever seen. Like,
Yeah, she
I don't know
she's
what point
legit.
she is, but
She's a one, but she's legitimately good as well. She and her finishing's really come along, I think. And also, Fenerbahce are trouble because they do the Thuringian thing where they play the female low to get the lineups working, and they sometimes play a half point under or a full point under just because they've got their guys anyway. And yeah, they also bring Yavuz off the bench, which, like, by the time you guys have played San Stefano first thing, and then you've got through a first quarter and it's tied, and that guy's going to be like, they've let the pit bull off the chain.
Yeah,
Oh,
he
man.
might be one of the best, like coming off the bench just to bring like energy, guys.
Yeah.
Go, like he's just so quick, just
He's
everywhere.
gonna be he must be top whatever ranking you would make. He might be the best. Oh yeah, he's good, but he would only be good on this team. Like, I think he is the captain of that All-Stars group. Like, I don't see him having a hugely positive effect on like a more structured team. I think he's just good because they're massive and they get to plug him in and have him run wild for a little bit.
Yeah, I think he also like I don't know if it probably just suits him down to the ground to be plugged into a team that's like, hey man, do whatever you want. Like just go nuts. Like
Yeah, I think that through all this talking we've done, I think there's avenues for you guys to run them close enough that it's a toss-up at the end of the game. I think
I
there's an
think so.
avenue for San Stefano to match their physicality in a way they've not really had done this season and put a shock into them. I just think they are the best balance of offense and defense in this tournament, and I would have to see somebody present something I've not seen from the rest of the field yet to make me call them above Fenerbahce definitively, I think is where I land,
Sure.
which may well happen, but the reason I'm not going with that is because I haven't seen it happen yet. And yeah, I'm going to go an entirely Group B podium, and I'm going to go, in fact, we can't have an entirely Group B podium, can we? But we can
Nope.
have, I think the top three teams in the tournament are in that Group B. And
So you think
somebody,
one of them will miss out because they have to?
yeah, they will. I would really love to call you guys against San Stefano to the point where I almost will. And I think I will just decide as the game tips off. But yeah, if you look back at Euro Cup one last year, man, where like Padova finished third or fourth, and it's like,
Yeah, part of a beat like an A.
yeah,
Like, but this is an absolute
what
murderer
is
compared to that.
going on? It's absolutely beyond me how any of this has taken place. But
Yeah,
yeah,
not good.
let's before we get out of it, one of these.
Sorry, I didn't hear you glitched out for a second. What was that?
I said before we get out of here, which one of these teams would be the most likely to score an upset win at Champions Cup Final Four if there was just a like for like sub? And you can't say Sitting Bulls because that's too obvious of an answer.
Is it us or Fenerbahce? Is probably us or Fenerbahce, I would say.
Weird how we write San Stefano off despite the fact they beat Galatasaray, who beat did Galatasaray beat Thuringen, I think. It all
Yes.
messed up when you start doing that.
Galatasaray, who aren't playing this weekend, might I remind you?
Shouts to Galatasaray, by the way, who that loss to San Stefano absolutely undid those guys. They've just lost out in two straight games of the Turkish semi-finals. So when we had Tommy on here ahead of that, and we were like, hey, there's two undefeated teams left in like basically the whole of Europe, and it's Galatasaray and Fenerbahce because they haven't had to play each other, and now neither of them is undefeated and they'll not get to play each other
Yeah, they
any.
still haven't. Like you'd think it was like, hey, they're gonna be undefeated until they meet and then one team will. It's like, no, that's not what happened.
Proof that we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah. I feel like we haven't talked enough about the fact that I call us to win the whole thing, but it's also been like 1 hour and 10 minutes. So
I've lost track how long we've been talking. We've been having fun here. It's great when guests don't get in the way.
yeah. Get up out the pain to everyone. Yeah.
Okay,
I think we have a
so
high enough ceiling that we can beat everyone, but obviously we have to go and actually do it. So
yeah,
it's not very high level analysis. I'll keep that for myself.
I'm almost tempted to pick against you just because I would love to see you being as smug as you could possibly be if you're able to pull the whole thing out. I don't know, man. I can talk myself into you guys winning it. I can't talk myself into you guys beating Fenerbahce in that second game of the day. I don't
Oh,
see
so you
that.
think there's a world in which they beat us in the group and then we see them again and figure something out? Yeah, Fair, could happen.
I've been on this bandwagon that I think the loser of the loser of the initial meeting benefits more from, you know, the lessons learned, and then they get their crack second time
Oh
around.
yeah, teams don't bother adjusting when they beat someone. Like that's it. And not like unless you're in an NBA team in the playoffs and there's 14 guys paid to think about it. But teams don't adjust enough when they win is my take
No.
about all of this. No, it's not.
Last question for you is, in your boots on the ground role, outside of the games that are going on at the tournament you will be at, is there a Euro Cup game or games going on this weekend where you're going to be sneakily checking your phone on the bench because you're more interested in that one than you are the result of you guys playing Cologne?
Are Hanover and Cantu both in Euro Cup too, or have I made
Yeah,
that up?
they are. So
That's my number one.
we're leaking over into the Euro Cup 2 schedule, but at the same time, on the same day, we've got Le Cannet versus Le Puy and Hanover versus Cantu going on concurrently.
Oh,
So,
locked in. Let's go.
phones at the ready.
Yes. Yeah, that's my one. What about is that your call? Those
That
two?
was my. I can't get there with any of the Euro Cup 3 matchups, but only because I think we're going to have Gaziantep and Murcia in the final, and they won't play each other before then.
Yeah, that'll be a big one. That'll be a good one.
That's going to be a hell of a game. And Gaziantep, who just beat Fenerbahce, who I've just been extolling, so
So, in theory.
shouts to them. Yeah, man. Are you doing?
Pardon?
Say that again. I lost you there.
I know I lost you as well. What were you saying? Were you asking me if I was excited?
Yes, are you excited?
yeah, should be great. This is. I love playing five basketball games in a weekend rather than one. That sounded like I was being sarcastic. I actually do. I love a tournament. Like, something special about having it all be in like a 2 day span or a 3 day span. Putting it all out there, and it's going to be great. It's nice to play different teams, and yeah, man, looking forward to it. Hopefully, win something. It's been a while since Bilbao has won a EuroLeague one, so gonna
Certainly
bring it
has.
back.
And you were actually there for the last one as well.
Yes, Bilbao has what was it? Bilbao has never lost.
Copa del Rey.
Oh yeah, Bilbao had never lost a Copa del Rey game that I was there for. On either side, we've won the two that I've played for them, and they beat us in the game that I played against them. So hopefully some sort of magic happens in that way. But yeah. Nah, man, I feel good about it. I think we have a roadmap to success. So we'll figure it out, hopefully. Peak at the
Fingers
right
crossed.
time. Imagine if we just put it together and we're the best team in the world for a weekend. It's like, oh yeah, that's what it was meant to look like all year. It'll be tough without Manu, obviously. I think that's a big difference maker for us. But yeah, massive, massive mid-pointer is a difference maker for team. Cool. Yeah. All right. Anything else, or should we get out of here?
No, I think we're good, man. Nothing else from me. Best of luck out there, and I'm as stoked to watch this round as I have been for any Euro Cup round that I can think of in recent memory, certainly since we've been doing this.
Thanks, and thanks for wishing me luck, even though we're podcasting tomorrow, and I will definitely speak to you in the interim.
I was actually going to stay silent for that whole podcast.
All right, no worries. I will too. We'll just let our guest go on their own.
Right.
But yeah, thanks, man. Thanks
Cool.
for listening. Speak easy.
Peace.
Bye.